May I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I went to the ordination of John Holgate. John did a long placement here about a year ago, and I know he had been here before, and so many of you know him. And clergy show up for each other, so I went to be part of this ordination. And there's a distinctive thing that happens in ordinations that has been on my mind since. Before the bishop does the prayer asking the Holy Spirit to come down and be upon this person in ministry, all the clergy come up and we place their hands on the person. And if you can't reach, you place your hand on the shoulder of the person ahead of you, and on it goes. So you end up with this big circle of clergy, all reaching their hands forward, finally to John there standing in the middle. So I've been thinking about this. I've done it before, but it was really on my mind this time that what would a person think of this if they didn't know what was going on? I mean, if you were someone who does sort of Reiki things, you might think, you know, you're a channel and the spirit's coming down. Or maybe you're seeing the oneness of all these clergy supporting each other, which was what we, you know, intended to show that. And then there's a technical thing that goes with it, and it's more with when bishops are consecrated, ordained as bishops, it happens and all the bishops do the very same thing. And there's a technical thing called apostolic succession, which is the idea that it all goes back to the disciples and Peter, and there's this unbroken history of laying out of hands through the generations up to the present to this person. And even the view in some churches that it's not a valid ordination if it doesn't have that going back in apostolic succession. Now, whatever you think of that is fine. It's a beautiful symbolism, but what really struck me about it was the oneness of all of us being there with the same intention for John, who we all knew. And so I've been thinking about that coming up to Trinity Sunday, because I've found that the idea of the Trinity has in it the similarity that you might not get what it's about, even though it's been around and part of how we worship God Sunday after Sunday. It might not have struck you as anything particular, or it might be something you're intrigued by, but you're just not able to put words around it. And so I would say of myself that, other than that you hear it in most worship services as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I was kind of oblivious, even until I arrived at Trinity College, which was where I did my theological studies on the process to be ordained. Now, it's called Trinity College, and that word Trinity just becomes part of the woodwork of things, that you hear the word and you think, okay, it's just a Christian word. But it came up in a very awkward way at Trinity College. In Toronto, Trinity College has a chapel which is quite stunning. It's very vertical. White limestone, clear glass windows with a few panes of light blue in it. So really a shimmering kind of look. And up front, there's this panel of three pieces that are in blue and gold. And so they just pop out of these white walls, and in it is an old man with a beard and a child in cross shape and the wings of a bird. I just thought it was a stunning, beautiful piece of the building. But there were some fellow students, women particularly, who took great offense at this old man with the beard. And maybe you've even thought of how do you describe God, and people will say their image of God that they are resisting is the idea of God as an old man. with a beard. There is one reference in the scriptures. It's in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, to the Ancient of Days, which is an old man with a beard. But it's the only one in the Bible where God is described as looking like that. There are many other images for God. Anyways, the fellow students started a conversation about how this ought to be removed from the building. Now you can imagine, right, that there would be lots of people who would immediately argue that this couldn't possibly happen, and it's part of the structure of the building, it's part of the stonework, it's not going anywhere. And the frustration came out in the proposal that instead, in the liturgy, we should change some of the images of Father. Which happened, so we ended up having Mother added to the Lord's Prayer here and there, and people kind of rolled with it. It became an extended conversation about how do we think of God, and one of my fellow students said, well, if you don't have a good Father image in your life, hearing God expressed as Father is not going to be helpful to you. I thought, my inner argument, right? Well, if you don't have a good image of Mother, you're going to be fighting it too. And, the characteristics of my dad didn't align quite with God the Father either. So was this something I should be worried about? It came up in a final course I did at Trinity College, a course on the Trinity, where the professor said, the Trinity, the understanding of the Trinity is absolutely crucial to what Christianity is about. And so we had a whole semester course with lots of readings to get at his proposal that it was absolutely crucial. Christianity didn't make sense without it. Now, I have not found that I've been challenged very often to explain how God is three or one. It's happened to me in my interfaith settings where Jews and Muslims will ask me, so do you have three gods or one? To see if, I'm actually a person of faith with them. But I haven't had it happen in Christian settings. I actually haven't had it happen. And so it's been on my mind since that course. How important is it? And 2 years ago, when I was really new at St. John's, we were making worship videos. And so I made a worship video for Trinity Sunday. And I got it in my head that I wanted to talk to all the living former rectors of St. John's and ask them if their view of the Trinity changed over the course of their ordination. And I just looked at that video again this week because actually it's fascinating to hear what they had to say. And I'm going to repeat the gist of it. So in the 60s, Herbert O'Driscoll was the rector here. Big name, went on to do great things in the rest of the church, wrote many books. In his 90s, and I interviewed him on Zoom. And his point was that God is so indescribable that we would be arrogant to think that we could use very simple language and get it. And he had an analogy. He had gone to see a painting in a gallery in Fredericton, the Beaverbrook Gallery. It was a painting by Salvador Dali called St. James of Compostela. And it's a stunning, stunning picture of a horse with a person on it and these ribbings going out all through the painting, amazingly in a Canadian art gallery. And why he raised this was the painting was there for him to see. He then saw it. And by the end of the day, he couldn't get the painting out of his head. So there were three things. There was the actual painting, there was him experiencing it, and then there was this lingering pondering that happened. And this was his way of saying, and he said this, any artwork or piece of music could have that impact on us, where we experience the Trinity by having the thing, being addressed by it and thinking about it deeply. So that was my first one. And I went on there to Alan Box, who is here. And Alan, I don't know if you remembered what you said.
I remember the experience.
You remember the experience. So let me summarize what Alan said. Alan said the Trinity is relationship. Father and Son and Holy Spirit is really relationship. And your analogy was an apple, which has an exterior and the flesh and the seed, but it was really about relationship. Alan was here in the 80s. So Garth Bulmer, who's also here, I managed to interview Garth. And Garth also said relationship, but Garth wanted to focus on how God is active, and therefore we should be using verbs. And so in the liturgy for things like blessings, Garth would say the blessing in the name of God who is creating and liberating and sustaining. God who creates, God who liberates, God who sustains. So bring a sense of the active to how God is who God is. So from there, Dana Johnston, I interviewed Dana, and Dana said basically what the professor said. She said that Christianity is less effective because we haven't tried to grasp the Trinity. It's crucial, and most churches have done lip service to it, and therefore Christianity isn't as effective as it could be worldwide. Dana also emphasized relationship, and her picture was from St. Augustine, the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. Dana added a different word, energy, that this relationship is about energy. Your most recent rector, Beth Bretzlaff, is now the dean of the cathedral, and I really enjoyed my conversation with Beth. We acknowledged that, you know, sometimes you could just address the readings and kind of skip the concept of the Trinity, depending on what else was going on in the church. And Beth's image as an outdoorsy person who loves to be in her kayak is the water, the ice of the snow, and the mist. And you can picture all of those things. But the reality was, you know, you could kind of skip it if you had to, even though it's important. Now, I was new to St. John, so I really wanted to hear what all these folks said. And what struck me was actually similarity, that from a theological perspective, we could have all been in the same room and we would have found we were nodding our heads up and down to each other. Of yes, relationship. Yes, energy. Even the kinds of books we read and that we found exciting. Where we differed was personality and the time period where we were here and the challenges of that particular time period, but actually a real similarity of strand of how we looked at God and how we looked at the faith. So I wanted to add my own version to that, and I've been kind of working on it since. But my sense of talking about it, the picture I had was the particle accelerators that there are in Switzerland that take the atom and run it at great speeds until the atom breaks apart, and the force that keeps it together is so strong that there's just a nanosecond when that Hadron Collider breaks it apart and it springs back together. That I wanted, maybe because I needed to emphasize to my Jewish and Muslim colleagues that I did support the oneness of God, that the force that holds God together, even though you could theoretically divide it and split it apart in many aspects, is so strong that we do speak of the oneness of God. And if you look at that creation story, it's the out of that bond of being so together that God is able to look towards us and address us. And I would say, mirror back to God, a our own deep oneness from which we could also be outward looking. And that struck me because when you have that, the scriptures themselves, so there are references to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it's not a developed theology yet. That took 300 years. But when you have those names together, the part that really stayed with me was at the end of Matthew's gospel when Jesus is addressing them. It wasn't just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was, go therefore, be outward facing, be connected. Jesus used the language of baptism, but I think further back in the conversation about baptism, it is our relationship with community, with culture, with people we don't know, and that this is where we're mirroring back to God the strength and the bond of love that is God. And that so outward is the core of how we live. And I was thinking about how we do that. Yesterday, we gave the appeal that anyone who wanted to come in for doors open could ring the bell. And hundreds of people rang the bell. Well, 200 people rang the bell. And every time the bell rang, it was like calling out to the rest of Elgin Street, come on in and maybe see what on earth is going on. And then they would come ring the bell too. But a beautiful way of saying, and we need more beautiful ways of saying that we're outward facing and we're deeply convicted that that's how we need to be because we're mirroring back what God is. Amen.